Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Ron Edwards, and this is the Ron and Don program coming to you from the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul. Beautiful evening here in the Twin Cities. Humidity is kind of high. Predicting some high temperatures as we move into next week and the 4th of July next Wednesday. Appreciate you joining us. We have a lot to talk about. This is a painful time in our beloved city here at the headwaters of the Mississippi, if you will. Once again, a African-American life has been lost in a confrontation with police. It happened this past Saturday in the northern part of the city in the area of 48th and Camden, 47th and Aldridge, 47th and Bryant, if you will. 31-year-old African-American shot to death by Minneapolis police in something that probably could have been avoided if the deceased, Thurman Bevins, again, 31-year-old African-American, and on a personal note, my condolences to the Moore and the Bevins families, if you will, on the loss of a son, a nephew, a cousin, a friend, if you will. We are going to tonight walk back to last Saturday and maybe even a little bit before so that folks have a better understanding of the kind of pain that the deceased was going through and how unfortunate it was that there was not help there for him when it has been an issue that has been so talked about in the United States. And that is the problems of mental health and balance and et cetera. And so tonight we will, as a part of a reflection and kind of a memorial to a 31-year-old man who had become extremely troubled by conditions that he was attempting to live with, the death of a beloved relative, if you will, his half-sister, and what that unfortunately led to. First of all, we want to go back to indicate to our listening audience, and particularly here in the city of Minneapolis, that there were people that were heroes in many respects and helping, at least up to this point in time, keeping a lid on that which has befallen our city. The death of another African-American, the 44th, 45th since 2000, if you will. And we will analyze and talk about the politics in a separate. Our co-host, Don Allen, will not be with us tonight. In fact, he probably will not be returning until the 1st of August. That's regrettable because that means our phone lines will not be open because that's his job, being the technician, if you will, keeping the phone lines and the chat room open and et cetera, but he has other obligations, if you will, and that is taking him away. He is also a instructor in the area of education, and so he is locked into some situations that have to do with adult education and et cetera. But that does not mean, never shall it mean, that our listening audience shall not get or receive the value of the information that is so important. As we said at the top of this program, again, I'm Ron Edwards, coming to you on a Wednesday, a beautiful Wednesday here in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis, as we said earlier. Sometime in the midday of this past Saturday in North Minneapolis, around the areas of 46th and 47th and Lindale and Aldridge and Bryant and Colfax and et cetera, but particularly 48th there right off of Lindale, if you will. 911 calls came in. At least three is what they are saying now, that a individual is, he was identified as his height, his race, if you will, his weapon, if you will, that a young man was firing a pistol, an automatic, black and silver, that he was firing both in the air and into the ground. And sometime around 5:30 p.m. Central Daylight Savings Time, squads responded to both the 911 calls and spot shotters, or shot spotters, if you will. And a squad arrived at the corners, the intersections of 48th, right off of Lindale, if you will. And there, the police maintained that they observed a African-American sitting on the curb with a young lady, later to be found to be his girlfriend and a child, small child, if you will, who all information seemed to imply that that child was his child, that he was the father of the child. For the reasons of the actions of the police, only they know, and I assume that it will be in the report, which will ultimately, at some time in history, be completed by the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension, the BCA, who does not enjoy really the best of relationships and trust with the African-American community, going back to a couple of situations, including the death of Jamar Clark in November of 2015, as many remember. 2016, we had Castile shot and killed in the area of Falcon Heights by a St. Anthony police officer, a small suburb tucked in between Minneapolis and St. Paul. And last year, we had a female Australian national, Justine Adoman, shot and killed by a officer of color, Somali officer Mohammed Nord. It seems that we're beginning to, unfortunately, regrettably, and tragically, establish some bad patterns in our city in the months of July and September. But the police had arrived. They maintained there was apparently some activity. We are not sure. Again, it will obviously, I assume, be contained in the incident report and the statements given by the two police officers to the BCA. BCA now indicates that it has interviewed them, certainly after appropriate consultation with their attorney or attorneys. The officers exited their automobile. Mr. Blevins, for what reasons only known to him, maybe to the young lady, Miss Anderson, if you will, that he began to move down the street, began to run towards Aldridge and Bryant and Colfax. Officers said they gave chase. At some point, they turned up an alley, which is bordered by both Aldridge and Bryant. A lot of our streets here go by alphabetical order. Police at some point will, I assume, indicate in their statements that at some point Mr. Bevins turned in a threatening manner. Police maintain that he was armed with a weapon, which would be consistent with the 911 calls. Other people who say that they were witnesses, notice that we are preferencing almost in a block style, if you will, who maintain that they saw the incident, some part of the incident, all of the incident, and et cetera. They will certainly have an opportunity now to come forward with their testimony. We observed some people volunteering their names and addresses to Commander Charles Adams, a 32-year veteran of the Minneapolis Police Department, commander of the Community Action and Community Response teams, both police and civilians, if you will. We'll get to that a little bit later in the program because we will go into specific details of the events that took place on Saturday night as well as events on Sunday in front of the 4th Precinct in North Minneapolis, and then later a vigil along the 4800 block of Camden. And we had not mentioned the Pacific Street, if you will. We do now, 48th and Camden in North Minneapolis, in really what is called the Camden neighborhood. At some point, after a foot chase of some short duration, if you will, maybe close to a block and a half, 2 blocks, officers, according to the, and we will be getting to that also on this program tonight, the cameras, as well as the officers' declarations or statements of the events, have not yet been made public, though they will be probably in the next 24 hours or less. The officers maintain that Mr. Blevins turned, we assume, in a threatening manner. The officers opened fire. Of course, the VCA is not indicating how many shots were fired, but the medical examiner, who has completed his autopsy of the deceased and actually gave his material notes and autopsy records to the BCA a couple days ago, about 48 hours ago, can estimate and clearly estimate the number of projectiles that hit Mr. Blevins, taking his life. It has been suggested to the family, the Moore and Blevins families, if you will, that it would be wise to have a second autopsy, second opinion, if you will, to make sure that there is consistency and transparency. Big word, word used a lot here in our beloved city at the headwaters of the Mississippi, if you will, that needs to happen. In Minnesota, we actually only have 2 licensed black morticians, one in Minneapolis, one in St. Paul. We would suggest certainly that Miss Brooks' funeral home, which has been in business since 1940, would probably be the one that would probably be selected. The family will make that determination. But the shots are fired. Mr. Blevins falls to the ground, according to a very reliable witness, a Caucasian veteran of the armed forces, if you will, a man who certainly clearly knows about weapons and et cetera, who actually, at the moment of his death, this gentleman was the closest to Mr. Blevins, based on his testimony to news media, and I assume, as of the airing of this program, that the gentleman in question has provided statements to the BCA, and will certainly at some point continue to respond to any questions. His declaration made in front of TV cameras over the last 3 days, again, this tragedy took place around 5:37, if you will, on Saturday. The gentleman's statement, the witness, one of the key witnesses, no doubt about it, was that at the point that he looked back around the corner, there were no police in the immediate vicinity of the deceased, if you will. The witness pointed out that there was a gun, a black and silver automatic handgun. Keep in mind that this gentleman was in the United States military. He certainly knows and can basically identify the style, make, and caliber of a weapon, if you will. He maintained that at that point, the deceased was laying on his back. Life was probably expiring, if you will, his condition of life, if you will. At that point, the witness indicated that he saw a police officer approaching rapidly, and the police officer told him to get back. The gentleman had been out mowing his lawn, if you will, backyard and in front. The deceased was laying in the driveway of the garage in the back of the home. of the gentleman, the witness in question. The police then step or other support and et cetera. And at that point, we have the homicide scene. Because so many shots were fired, obviously people in the neighborhood, this is a kind of a, you know, middle class neighborhood, if you will. People came out of their homes. Some have still not given any statements. Some, I think, really don't want to be involved. The girlfriend, Miss Anderson, and her child live initially approximately a half a block away from the scene, if you will. She had been desperately trying to get Mr. Blevins to cease and desist that were made. She gave testimony this afternoon in what was an extremely tense and very volatile, verbally, if you will, public hearing of the Public Safety Committee of the Minneapolis City Council, which is a 13-member body here in the city of Minneapolis. We have what is called a strong council, weak mayor form of government as it pertains to the charter. But the police department, fire department, and civil rights department are under the authority and auspices of the mayor of the city, Jacob Frock. It was quickly determined that Mr. Blevins was deceased, if you will. By this time, crowds had begun to gather, and by 6:03, requests for community assistance had been made by the watch commander of the 4th Precinct, Lieutenant John Delmonico, well-respected, decorated, and former president for about 13 years of the Minneapolis Police Federation, the union, if you will. Lieutenant Robert Crowe is now the president and is now in his second term as president of the Federation. On that particular note, for those that are keeping notes or certainly recording these programs, Lieutenant Crowe was also by Sunday morning very quick to indicate that he thought it in police body cameras provided or copy of the film and et cetera be provided and made public as soon as possible, which is a clear indication that there is a certain comfort level as it pertains to the Federation of what the police body cams will show. But back to that Saturday night, 6:04, 6:05, as we said, watch commander and very respected Lieutenant John Delmonico had called for both police assistance as well as the community response team, which happened to be under the command of Commander Charles Adams, 32-year veteran, African-American, born and raised, actually, in North Minneapolis. His son, who is also a police officer, is the football coach at one of our high schools and became 2 years ago, the first African-American football coach to lead his team to a state championship north in Class A, small enrollment, if you will, about to move a little under 400 at the time. And so this background is important because there have been events in which we have indicated that we feel obligated journalistically and otherwise to make sure that you, the public, know that you have a feel for just how much pressure there is, because we're also going to talk in terms of those that distinguished themselves. We're also going to talk about those that did not distinguish themselves during a 8-hour period of confrontation and et cetera, which has gone worldwide, as the importance, if you will, of cell phones and video phones and et cetera come into play. Again, conflict, tension, if you will, the possibility of an outbreak of hostility between community and police for at least 8 hours, if you will. Commander Charles Adams III, the second, if you will, his son is Charles Adams III, distinguishes himself. He comes under verbal attacks by some who really did not know, though they should have, who he was and what he was about. Again, the reason that we are sharing this with you, as we continue to move through Saturday night, crowd had grown to over 100, if you will. There was much volatility on the streets, particularly in the Pacific area of 48th and Camden, basically a block and three-fourths away from where Mr. Blevins lost his life. Ultimately, things were by midnight, a little after midnight, 12:20 a.m., Sunday morning, things began to be brought under reasonable control. We must indicate police handled themselves in an appropriate, more than appropriate manner. Police reinforcements were called in. There were points in time when it appeared that there was going to be a serious confrontation. But again, Commander Adams and the small group of community response individuals and the officers there on the scene were able to do the kind of job that they teach you at the academy, if you will, the kind of job that guarantees that there will not be additional casualties. It was a very volatile night. For those that were there, you know and you understand what we are saying. Let me also further identify a couple of city officials who did come, who were there, if you will. One, the son of the 5th Congressional Congressman Keith Ellison, his son, Jeremiah Ellison, distinguished himself moving around and with the crowd, talking to people, sometimes being insulted, being attacked, if you will, verbally, if you will. Admiration that yours truly, who happened to be there also, had been called, watched him act with a level of professionalism, kindness, if you will, understanding, and et cetera, that should be the hallmark of any quote-unquote politician, elected public official, and et cetera. Mr. Ellison is in his first term. In fact, he's not in his first year of being the 5th Ward, which is in North Minneapolis. Later, he was joined by Councilman Cunningham, another first-termer, if you will, who carried out activities in support of Commander Adams, his fellow council member Ellison, and himself. They were later joined by a white councilman who is also a first-termer, and they were there into the late hours and nightfall and et cetera. Commendations must go out to the Reverend Jerry McAfee, one of the most activist black ministers in our community, and we only identify by race because, unfortunately, it's necessary. You know. We also commend the chaplains under the command of Commander Adams, if you will, three African-American chaplains joined by a veteran white female chaplain were outstanding, and this needs to be said so that the public and the residents of the city of Minneapolis and the rest of the country know they were there. There were people there that were prepared to put their lives on the line because there were times that the situation was that volatile, if you will. So we had these four chaplains, if you will, who conducted themselves in such a way that there definitely should be accommodation for their activities and et cetera. There were others, the officers, if you will, at least 20 formed a specific line to try to preserve the crime scene zone, if you will, and we clearly understood that. The scene went viral across the world. As we said, there must have been, if there was 105, 107 individuals there, at least 90 of them sent links out across the United States and et cetera. Much communication, people as far away as Los Angeles, San Francisco, Denver, Dallas, Tulsa, San Antonio, New Orleans, Memphis, St. Louis, Kansas City, Des Moines, you know, you kind of get what I'm saying, kind of coming up to Mississippi from the West. And then there were certainly those asking if they could be of assistance. Folks talking in terms of coming in to Minneapolis, calls coming in from Cleveland, Detroit, Pittsburgh, which itself was in the midst of quote-unquote significant conflict after the death of a 17-year-old African-American a couple days earlier at the hands of a police officer, a member of the East Pittsburgh, who, by the way, was arrested and will be indicted. He was arrested this morning, Rostov, Officer Rostov. Interesting situation there in the city of Pittsburgh, East Pittsburgh, the municipality, and Allegheny County, for those of you out in the eastern part of the United States and listening to these broadcasts, if you will. At some point in time, I received a call from the western United States, a person who I've known for many years, who was the deceased, was calling to see if there was any information that I could forward to them with regards to the death of their nephew. And, of course, regrettably, tragically, I was in a position to do that. And dialogue began with that family member and additional family members, some of whom have arrived here from the West, and are here in our city attempting to make preparations upon the release of the body. Strange game, though, has been played here. The BCA maintaining that although the autopsy has been completed, that the possibility that the body may not be released for 4, 5, or 6 months, which, of course, is ridiculous. The family has been advised to obtain legal counsel and, if necessary, go into state court and federal court if necessary to demand the release of the body and allow the opportunity for a second autopsy. Let me say this to the city officials, who all 13 members of the city council who signed that letter the other day calling for transparency. Transparency also means releasing that young man's body. You see, there is a quote-unquote meaning, and a meaning that is very dangerous politically in keeping, quote-unquote, the body of the victim, particularly when there is a feeling that the family will ask black experts to forensically examine the body of their loved one. Understand that we are not fools here in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul. Some of us have been tragically involved for many, many, many years, deaths and et cetera. And so I think that it's appropriate that one who can give historical testimony, and that's this commentator, to that little trick that the BCA, which many feel cannot be trusted and should not be trusted, is attempting to play. I hope not in concert with the Hennepin County Medical Examiner, to say to the family in this, the hour of their need and the hour of their pain, that for whatever reason, I assume medically and forensically, that the body possibly could be held for as long as 6 months. We say again, that is outrageous, that is dangerous to the welfare and tranquility of our city. Now, we have identified some of those that stood tall. We now go to the mayor. Contrary to the attacks that were leveled at the mayor, the video that we saw of the mayor at the Public Safety Committee meeting at 1:30 that started at 1:30 this afternoon, we think that the mayor has attempted to be reasonable, responsible, and we call your attention to this morning's edition of the Minneapolis Star Tribune, in which the headline on the front page above the fold indicated that the mayor had made a decision politically and emotionally, if you will, and spiritually, that the body cam shall be released, and as it's stated in the Minneapolis Star Tribune, that the family will be the first as it pertains to consultation and review. We were quoted as a political activist, more importantly, a civil rights activist. We had said in this morning's paper, and of course we were quoted early yesterday, again on Tuesday, that it was the right thing to do, to release the video cam, to allow the community to make the necessary judgments and understanding, as we said on our television program and our live feed yesterday from the studios of MTN, the Minneapolis Television Network, where we have had a program for 27 years, that there are some people that will never be satisfied. But the family must be given the opportunity to make known their feelings and how it is that they will deal with and what it is that they will accept and then what it is they will not accept as it pertains to this tragedy. On Sunday, there were two Pacific events. As we said, a little over 100 people had arrived at and were at the scene for almost, well, in many cases, certainly the crowd reached its apex, if you will, around 10 o'clock. Crowd in excess of 100. On Sunday at 3 p.m. at the 4th Precinct, which is the precinct in which the two officers in question are assigned to and come from, if you will, a crowd of close to over 320, 350 arrived peacefully, began a protest. They were later joined by the chief of the Minneapolis Police Department, Miguel Arredondo, who distinguished himself on Saturday night, not afraid to go into the crowd, not afraid to talk and try to reason with people who were extremely angry. This was important. On Sunday, at probably around 3:30, 3:35 in the afternoon, was equally important and just as important as his appearance the previous night in what was a hostile situation, if you will. The crowd on Sunday, as we said, in excess of 300, was peaceful. There were many statements made. There was much anger displayed. But at about the 15-minute mark, maybe the 20-minute mark of the beginning of the protest, a car pulled up, occupied by five African-American men. One of them was the father. Pictures on the front page of the Monday morning Minneapolis Star Tribune. It was quite clear that Thurman Moore was in pain, but he was accompanied by two of his brothers. They exited him from the car. His time there was probably less than 5.5 minutes, but he came to thank those 300 and some people who had come to that precinct station to protest peacefully, that he appreciated their concern for the situation and circumstances which caused his son to lose his life. That was important because it set a certain tone. It brought a certain environment and atmosphere because he called for peace. He called for nonviolence, and I don't know that that's been expressed enough. I don't know that people understand enough the pain that this father was feeling, Thurman Moore, a family with over 70 years of history here in the city of Minneapolis. Yeah, for those that are waxing and et cetera, they just didn't come here. This family, the Moore family, did not just come here from, you know, Chicago or Detroit or Gary or Kansas City, Des Moines, Omaha, just didn't come here. They had roots here for over 70-something years. But again, Mr. Moore's appearance there to thank the crowd for expressing their care and their concern for his deceased son was extremely important, as was, my friend, if you will, in the sense of respect and with dignity engaging the crowd. At 7 o'clock that night, at the same corner that this tragic event started, a crowd in excess of 350 or more, many coming from the Gay Pride Parade in downtown Minneapolis, continued to pour in, if you will, to the vigil. In some regards, that became a dangerous situation because there was almost the loss of a crowd, if you will. But ultimately, particularly given the work of Councilman Ellison and his mother, who is an elected black public official who came there, who has a certain health situation, and took her folding chair and sat there in the street with her community. She is a member of the Minneapolis Board of Education, the ex-wife, former wife of 5th Congressional Congressman Keith Ellison. But more importantly, she had every reason to be proud of her son, a first-term city councilman, coming up on just 6 months in office. He showed great maturity, if you will, as well as she showed significant caring for her community, for her constituency, if you will. All of this important, all of this needed to be known because community was watching. Community was analyzing, assessing what was happening, if you will. Now, the mayor of the city of Minneapolis came. I was disappointed that some of those who the previous night had been screaming and hollering that the mayor should be here and et cetera had him present. They had an opportunity to dialogue with him and et cetera. Of course, they did what it is they felt they needed to do this afternoon in the meeting of the Public Safety Committee of the Minneapolis City Council. But on this specific occasion, the mayor presented himself, ready to answer questions and et cetera. The organizers apparently did not have the wherewithal to hold down, quote unquote, the anger of the crowd. They were, you know, not there to, quote unquote, hold it down, but they had made it clear that they were organizers. They were experienced, if you will. The black minister was threatened with violence, if you will, which certainly almost caused him to withdraw. There was volatility. But this event ended peacefully by 9 o'clock. Some made statements of that they had saw and viewed the death of Mr. Blevins and et cetera. I hope that these individuals are not in the tradition of what happened with Mr. Clark in November of 2015. I hope that they step forward, give their statements. If they have videos of the incident and et cetera, prepare to give them to the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension. Be prepared to give testimony in court under oath. Oh, you got to remember now, you got to do it under oath. So we used to say in the old days, don't come out there shucking and jabbing. Don't come out there telling fairy tales. A lot of people made a lot of statements about what it is they allegedly saw. Some of them changed the narrative within a half hour and another hour. I heard from one person so many narratives, I just wasn't sure I was looking at the same person. But I understand that sometimes people need, quote-unquote, the recognition, if you will. But this is not about recognition. This is about justice. This is about justice, the importance of justice, if you will. As we move into the last 16 minutes, 17 minutes of tonight's program, we must continue to provide the appropriate recognition and appreciation and respect to Chief Madero Arredondo. He was a man of courage. He was a man of conviction, but he was a man of strength. And he provided the necessary honesty and et cetera. I was asked a question by a reporter, are there other chiefs that I have known in my long experience being an activist in this city since 1959, a couple years after I left high school here. I said there were only two others that I think would have had in the last 100 and some years of policing, would have had the respect of the crowd to be able to talk and in some regards defuse the situation. One would have been Jhené Harto, who was forced out by former Mayor Betsy Hodges. The other one would have been William McManus, the chief of police in San Antonio, Texas, who was chief for a short period of time here until, quote-unquote, conservatives realized that William McManus truly believed in community policing and diversity and the increasing of the numbers of officers of color, Native American, Hispanic, and et cetera. Now, that brings us quickly to a situation, though, that has emerged. And the mayor must be made aware of this, and Chief Arredondo must be made aware of this. There are two separate incidents which do nothing to enhance the healing process that is being called for by some who are trying to be as responsible as possible. The first has to do with the young lady who is in the mayor's office, Mrs. White. People know who she is. She was at the scene Saturday night. She represented Mayor Fiswell. As she talked with people, as she diffused situations and et cetera. And I thought that that was so important and that she was so valuable to what she did. I was stunned and disappointed that members of the mayor's staff criticized her, actually to her face, over the last couple of days and said she, as a African-American, a person of the community and et cetera, a representative of the mayor's office, had no business being there on Saturday night. That is outrageous to the mayor, who I clearly believe has sanctioned that. That is outrageous that Mrs. White was so, quote-unquote, criticized by white staff members of the mayor's office. It was uncalled for. It was unnecessary. We repeat again, she was a important member of the mayor's team, and she did one heck of a job of joining with Commander Charles Adams and his small community group, response group, as well as all of the officers that were deployed that night and defusing a situation which would have blown this city sky high. In fact, we'd be talking tonight with National Guard troops in the street if, in fact, that situation would have gotten out of hand Saturday night. Important that those of us in the Fourth Estate who know of these situations must step forward and indicate to the proper authorities and people said they're responsible that it was embarrassing and was inappropriate. And I don't think that it's consistent with what Mayor Jacob Fry expects from his staff, one of the few African Americans that he has on his staff. They're on the ground, if you will, boots on the ground, doing everything she could to maintain and help maintain order and respect. And yet she is attacked. The reason that that became even more troubling was a text message sent by a white police officer in the third precinct, if I'm correct, an officer who attacked, and this was interesting, that there are officers, though, that have that kind of disdain for the African-American and other communities of color. This officer involved a decade ago in a very heinous activity, becoming one of the few officers that we know of, other than in some other places on the East Coast, who was involved in the shooting, the wounding, and ultimately the death of one of his own officers, an Asian officer. Many of you out there remember Dewey Note, an Asian officer working undercover one night a decade ago. And this officer and his partner, by the way, resigned from the Mass Police Department and went to fight Muslims in Bosnia, if you will. in the former Republic of Yugoslavia. There are some of you out there that study news accounts in the century, you know what I'm talking about. But this officer, this patrol officer, third one, criticized the head of the Minneapolis homicide unit, who had sent out a communique to all officers, a little over 1,000 officers in our department, praising the efforts of the community response team, clearly praising the efforts of police officers such as himself. This was Lieutenant Zimmerman sending out this text message to every police officer in the Minneapolis Police Department of the role of the community, and et cetera. And I thought that it was so uncalled for and equally as dangerous for this officer in the 3rd Precinct, Jamie, you know who you are, who sent a text message back blasting a superior officer, Lieutenant Zimmerman, in a situation in which the assistant chief, Jose, had to step in and order a cease and desist, and I do believe messages that were going back and forth. Now, there are some, such as the commander chief and mayor of the 5th precinct adjacent to the 3rd precinct covering South Minneapolis, in fact, the same precinct that Officer Muhammad Nord was in, who applauded the statements attributed to the assistant chief of the department, who allegedly criticized Lieutenant Zimmerman and reinforced the denunciation of Commander Charles Adams, 32-year veteran of the Minneapolis Police Department, who showed significant competence and bravery and et cetera on Saturday night. And so I was puzzled because the particular officer in question, I didn't even think that he was still with the Minneapolis Police Department. He actually should have been given his walking papers after what he and his partner did to Officer Dewey Noe. He was working undercover, Officer Noe. These two officers who shared the same role of lockers. Oh, yes, yes, yes. We need to tell it tonight because it is the kind of thing that creates the kind of problem that makes it difficult for the mayor and the chief of police, who is an African-American, our first African-American chief, to try to do what needs to be done to make sure that there's a healing process and that we can have good community policing. And that night, Dewey Noe was ordered, working undercover and et cetera. He had the colors of the day. For those of you that are in law enforcement, you understand that we know what we are talking about. He had the colors of the day, and he had actually taken his badge, which was around his neck, and had displayed it. He was told to get onto his knees. And this police officer who is still on this department, who criticized the lieutenant of the homicide unit and defamed Commander Charles Adams, a 32-year veteran of the Minneapolis Police Department, defamed him, called he and his quote-unquote community people worthless, and said we should be concerned about the two officers. The two officers are going to be taken care of, sir. They're going to be taken care of. And in the quest to make himself appeal to the rest of the boys, if you will, he went on to further chastise. Luckily, you, Chief Jones, cut the activities off. I guess that you explained to Lieutenant Zimmerman that it was not a criticism, but the commander of the 5th precinct, in an internal meeting in the last couple of days, joked and made fun of the fact that you, Assistant Chief Jose, put your foot up Lieutenant Zimmerman and Commander Adams' behind. I know that not to be true, but that is what some people are doing to undermine the attempt of this first black chief to bring about a level of trust that really has never been held. And for those that are listening to us tonight across the world and domestically and et cetera, I've lived in this town since 1945. Became a high school student in 1954. I have seen every major confrontation in which black people have lost their lives. In many of them, I have participated. In many of them, I have filed complaints and contacted the Department of Justice and asked for help in this town. So I don't want anybody to think that they can chastise me or get in my face. I've seen it happen. I know the politics of it and et cetera. But let us be on the positive note as we begin to conclude this program and move into the last 6 minutes. There were heroes out there Saturday. There were heroes Sunday. We think that there continue to be heroes, starting with Chief Mandela Arredondo, Mayor Jacob Fry. He is very effective and loyal staff person, Miss White, an African-American woman, chastised by her own white colleagues because she went to help, to be effective, to make a difference. Certainly the fine officers of the Minneapolis Police Department who acted with control and respect, irrespective of what people may think of them, those officers out there that night acted with that respect. And technically, Commander Charles Adams, 32-year veteran, African-American of the Minneapolis Police Department, did his job. He didn't necessarily get a lot of support, Chief, like he was supposed to. But he did it. There were heroes out there. The Reverend Jerry McAfee, Sharif Willis, a community activist, a man well known. He took time to make that journey that night from his home in North Minneapolis to be there, to stand with Reverend McAfee, to stand with Commander Charles Adams, to stand with the Blue Line. Made a difference. We repeat again what we are saying to you. You don't want to believe it? Hey, that's your problem, not mine. We were there. And if the experience and the commitment of some of these people that we have named was not in place, we'd have National Guard troops on the streets of Minneapolis right now, tonight, as this program is being broadcast across the world. That's how close it was. Now, the mayor has indicated clearly, and we are aware that it is about to take place, probably in the next 24 to 48 hours. The video will be, quote unquote, become public. We would suggest this to all of you who have an interest and we hope are positively motivated. Look at the videos very, very closely. Use your wisdom, use your knowledge, use your understanding of what it is you think you know about what the action should be. Do that for yourself, do that for the community, and do that for the spirit, 31-year-old African-American who lost his life. As some of his relatives said, he was not a man that lived the life of an angel, but then none of us are. You, community, will have to be the judge. If there was a doctrine of fairness or if there was a doctrine of animus as it pertains to the circumstances which led to the shooting, which led to his death. The video, in our estimation, will serve as a very significant instrument with regards to reaching the truth. But the demand that is placed upon us as the citizens of this city, and more specifically the African-American community, is to show an understanding, show a level of maturity with regards to the full examination of all the things that happened that afternoon around 5:35 Central Standard Time along 48th and Camden and 47th and Aldridge and Colfax. You owe it to the victim. You owe it to his family. His family has arrived here, if you will. They were longtime residents. That family, the Moore family, by extension the Bevins family, has better than a 70-year experience here in the city of Minneapolis. They deserve the appropriate respect, the honesty, and the integrity. Again, Madera Arredondo, Mayor Jacob Frye, Councilmember Ellison, Councilmember Cunningham, Councilmember Thatcher. And there will hopefully be others. To the mayor, what happened to you today is unfortunately a part of the job. Don't let it deter you. Don't let it move you off of the principles that you have told the voters of the city of Minneapolis, and as an outgrowth of that, they entrusted you with the specter of leadership as mayor of the city of Minneapolis. And most certainly, it holds true for Chief Madera Arredondo. But he has always been known as a man, though soft-spoken, polite, respectful, and etc., but he is a man that knows and understands his job. And in closing, he carried that out with distinction. He carried it out with class. Carried it out with caring. He did not bring any bias to the table. It is regrettable that a police officer in one of the precincts and a commander, an inspector in another, thought it was funny that Commander Adams and Lieutenant Zimmerman were allegedly chastised by the Assistant Chief of Police as it pertains to their concern that all of those that attempted to participate in maintaining the peace and tranquility of this city were summed away by this officer, referred to as unimportant, unacceptable, and etc. That was wrong. It does not serve any part of the agenda of trying to hold, number one, this community together, and number two, begin to build the trust. We are made aware that there will probably be a series of meetings. The police department is in control of that in preparation for the necessary discussions and the plan of how to regain trust and respect of each side. We appreciate you taking the time to listen to tonight's program. These are critical times in our city. We are as close to a situation of success or failure in the city of East Pittsburgh and Allegheny County. May God continue to have his hand upon the shoulder of those that attempt to do the right thing and bring together the healing. I'm Ron Edwards. This is the Don and Ron program coming to you from the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul. Good night.